Goldman Sachs charged with fraud.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Investment banking giant Goldman Sachs has been charged with fraud by the Securities and Exchange Commission. Here to talk about this with us is Jeremy Hobson. He joins us live from New York. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning, Stacey.
Jeremy, big news. What is this all about?
Yeah, this is about a financial product that Goldman sold to investors in 2007. It was an investment made up of mortgage-backed securities right before the housing market collapsed. And unbeknownst to those investors, the securities were selected by an outside hedge fund called Paulson & Company. Now, what investors didn't know, but the SEC says Goldman did know, is that Paulson & Company was shorting those very same mortgage-backed securities that they had selected. In other words, they were betting that those securities would lose value, but the investors who bought Goldman's product wanted them to go up in value. Here's the SEC's enforcement director, Robert Kuzami, speaking on a conference call in the last half hour.
Goldman told ACA that Paulson was taking a long position in the transaction when, in fact, Paulson had a short position.
And in the end, Stacey, investors lost more than $1 billion on this, while Paulson and company made about that much on the transaction.
Wow. So Goldman is being charged, but not Paulson?
Right. The SEC says it's Goldman that broke the rules here by not disclosing what seemed to be a conflict of interest. And that's significant because there haven't been charges like this yet against the big banks post-financial crisis. A lot of outrage for sure. But this is being called the government's most significant legal action related to the mortgage meltdown. The SEC didn't say whether there would be more to come. And by the way, I'm looking at my monitor right now. Goldman's stock is down 14.5% this morning.
Wow. Jeremy Hobson in New York. Thank you, Jeremy.
You're welcome.
You can follow the story on our website. That's at marketplace.org. Like Jeremy said, Goldman's stock is down more than 14% this morning, and the rest of the markets are going in the same direction. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 1.1% to 11,020. The NASDAQ down 1.25% to 2,484. The S&P 500 down 1.6% to 1,192. Stuyvesant Town is a housing complex in New York. Its owners got in trouble for kicking people out of rent-controlled apartments. But it turns out one of the big investors was the California Public Employees Retirement System, or CalPERS. Jill Barchet has more.
CalPERS is expected to adopt a new policy Monday to stop investing in real estate deals that convert apartments with controlled rents to much higher market rates. CalPERS decided to make the change after the bad press it got when tenants lost their homes in New York and elsewhere. Even worse, the deals went bust, and CalPERS lost $700 million of taxpayer money. David Wood is the director of the Initiative for Responsible Investment at Harvard University. He says CalPERS carries a lot of weight with the banks that partner with them.
They can require the projects in which they're the equity investors to, you know, use these principles, and so the lenders are likely to follow on.
CalPERS' new policy could also be meant to preempt tougher regulation. The California legislature holds hearings Wednesday on a bill that would make it illegal for public pensions to engage in predatory investment practices. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard. Vanguarding is an investment philosophy designed to help individuals reach their financial goals. Vanguard.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture and creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. More at ProduceMoreConserveMore.com.
2009 taxes are now a thing of the past. Well, hopefully. We've heard a lot of debate in the last year over where that tax money is going to go. Here to talk about that with us is Robert Reich, professor of public policy at Berkeley. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Stacey.
So, Robert, many of us really had to struggle to pay our taxes this year. With huge budget deficits looming, will we be paying even more in the future?
A good chance, Stacey. Even if Washington finds further ways to slow the growth of Medicare and trim Social Security, additional taxes may be needed down the line.
Who is going to pick up the tab for that?
Ah, the big question. Well, in the first instance, people with incomes above $250,000 a year. The just passed health care bill increases Medicare payroll taxes on these high earners, and the president wants to allow the Bush-era tax cuts to expire for them.
What happens if those revenues aren't enough?
Well, there's a lot of buzz in Washington these days about something called a value-added tax, or VAT.
VATs are popular in Europe, is that right?
That's right.
So how exactly do VATs work?
A VAT is like a sales tax, but it would be put on every stage of production. So, for example, steel producers would be taxed on the steel they contribute to making a car. This means a lot of the VAT would be hidden from public view. When you bought the car, you wouldn't know how much of the sticker price reflected all the taxes paid along the way. Now, some politicians like the VAT for exactly this reason. And it can be increased without drawing too much attention to itself. But because it's essentially a tax on consumption, it's also quite regressive. A rich person is likely to pay a smaller VAT as a percentage of his total income than someone of more modest means.
Are there any other tax ideas being batted around Washington right now?
Some want to broaden the tax base by, for example, limiting the value of top earners' itemized deductions and closing loopholes, like the one that allows hedge and equity fund managers to treat their income as capital gains, taxed at just 15%. That'd be pretty nice. But these are politically tricky. They've been proposed before, and Congress has not wanted to bite the hand that feeds it big political donations.
Robert Reich was the Secretary of Labor under Clinton and is a professor of public policy at Berkeley. Robert, thank you.
Thanks, Stacey.
And finally, a new study in the American Journal of Public Health says the 11 biggest life and health insurance companies, including Northwestern Mutual and Prudential, own nearly $2 billion worth of stock in fast food companies. So basically, insurers are telling us to eat our greens and go to the gym, but they're betting we won't. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.